You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. My name is David Baer, and today we're going to be chatting about how small business owners perceive marketing, what they think they need to be doing with their marketing, and perhaps what they might sometimes not realize is in fact what they ought to be doing when it comes to marketing. I'm being a little vague here because, quite frankly, as a marketer myself for many years working with businesses, I've seen all kinds of questions. And I imagine as the listener, you are an expert in whatever you're an expert in, and you get people asking you questions all the time. You go, gosh, if only they knew the right way or the reality of the situation. Well, we marketers are people too. We marketers have that same reaction. And those of us who care about our clients, and I hope most marketers out there do, we want to set things straight, make things effective, make things profitable for our clients. And so I want to dive deep into this topic with today's guest. Emily Lenning is joining me from across the country in the DC metro area, where she runs Blossom Marketing. It's a full stack digital agency, and she has a really cool team. I've been reading their bios on their website, and I've also been reading the case studies of a lot of the different types of businesses that Blossom supports. And before we get into the detail that I've just mapped out here, I want to mention, Emily, that you came from a very different environment prior to starting Blossom, which was a corporate environment. And so I want to start there, understand a little bit of your background, and then understand the transition from working in a corporate environment into supporting and helping small businesses grow. So, Emily, welcome.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, I'm excited to dive into this today.
So let's go back to sort of not the beginning, but your earlier work in the marketing space. You went to school, you studied public relations, and then you ended up at some point working in the corporate space. Why don't you share a little bit about that experience?
Yeah, definitely. So in college, I worked with some nonprofits and did some internships and whatnot. And then right after college, I went to corporate and was working in the employer branding division of Kellogg's. So the big cereal company, Pop-Tarts, Cheez-Its, all that fun stuff, and was managing their LinkedIn and their social media outlets, and was really learning a lot about design and what should be posted, what should not be posted, which I want to dive into a little more later, which is pretty exciting stuff to talk about. But yeah, so I was there and learned a lot of the larger branding that comes with corporate. From there, I worked for a couple different agencies, went to another agency that worked for Kellogg's on websites and things and was a project manager there, and then worked for an agency that worked with small businesses. And so from there, I was actually freelancing kind of while I was doing all of these things, doing social media for a few people I knew to make some extra money. And then right before COVID, decided to jump full time into Blossom. And from there, we just exploded. So now we have a team of about 10 women that is really their powerhouse. And so we like to help a lot of small businesses grow through digital marketing. So that's how I got here.
Excellent. And I'm glad that you sort of shared the full landscape of the experience. I love the fact that it's an all-female team that you've put together as well. And what I was really interested in understanding about that corporate element of the background, and I'm curious to hear what you have to say about posting, but as I was talking earlier about what so many small business owners get wrong in my experience is that all of us are exposed to marketing on a regular basis. And what marketing do we see more than anything else? We see big brand marketing. And small businesses often think that that's what they ought to emulate.
Right.
So I'm going to stop there and let you continue the story, because I'm hoping, although I have, again, no idea, that your experience is similar to mine in that perspective. And I think you and I hopefully agree that perhaps it's not necessarily the right perspective.
Right. Yeah, definitely. So when I was at corporate, doing social media for just really the corporation as a whole, there were a lot of loopholes we had to go through. Like, for example, every post had to be sent to legal. We had to make sure the colors were right, the font or the logo placement was right. I remember one time, I think this is when we were doing the websites actually for the agency I worked with, we sent like a bowl of cereal or something with like someone eating it, and they're like, that serving size is too big. And I'm like, I would never have thought like, oh, people shouldn't actually maybe eat, you know, this much cereal. So anyway, that really taught me though a lot about quality when it comes to the marketing side of things. So with my clients now, it's, you know, my team's kind of like probably thinks I'm kind of a stickler on our branding and everything for our clients. But what I, the main thing I took away was making sure our colors are always consistent. Our fonts are always consistent. You know, we're always having these things laid out. But the thing is, are also then our small business owners that we work with maybe want to have or get kind of overwhelmed with trying to have this perfect marketing thing or understand it. Like you said at the beginning, like they are the experts in what they do. And so a lot of times people will talk to me about it and be like, well, I'm not the expert in this, or they don't know how to add us to a Facebook page or whatever. And I'm like, that's okay, because you're not the expert. You own a plumbing business, right? Like you're not going to know how to navigate Facebook, which is why you hired us. And so I think a lot of times business owners feel intimidated by the process of getting started with marketing, instead of rather than just trusting that other people can help them just the way I would trust them to come to my house and help me with an issue like that I have with my sink or something. So I think a lot of times they just get overwhelmed. They think it's going to cost a lot of money. So when I tell people too, like I work, used to work at Kellogg's, or I do this, they're like, well, I don't have a Pop-Tarts budget. I'm like, well, I don't need you to have a Pop-Tarts, but it's why I do what I do. I want to help you grow because I'm passionate about helping small businesses. So, which is why I do what I do. So anyway, I think there are a lot of things, but I think the main thing is like intimidation, with not knowing what to do or being scared to start, because just not having that knowledge, and it's always changing, right? So they learn one thing and then they get frustrated that it's changing again. So I think those are kind of my top things that I've learned a lot in the transition going from corporate to small business marketing.
You know, I often say that all business owners I've ever encountered think they know everything about marketing. Mm-hmm. But now that I've heard what you just said here, I would probably reframe that to say they have certain beliefs about marketing,
right,
which they are, you know, may or may not be correct, and they are expecting certain things which may not be the reality. Things like, oh, you're the marketing agency, but you need me to come in and tell you exactly what you want me to have you do. I'm supposed to be the expert in marketing. I have a lot of businesses who have engaged agencies that I work with who come in and say, I know that you want me to tell you everything that you'd like me to do, but I have no idea what to tell you. Right. And so I hearing from you, well, that's okay. You don't need to.
Yeah.
It's refreshing.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I think like a lot of times, you know, agencies will ask their clients, well, what do you want us to be posting? What is, do you want us to be sharing? Instead, as agency owners, we should also be telling them, here's what we suggest doing. Because I also, at this point, like I was telling you before we jumped on, I probably worked with over 1,000 businesses at this point, and I have learned most of the time, people want me to tell them what they should be doing. So I'm always careful in my team to be like, tell us what you want us to do. It's rather, here's what we suggest. You know, I work with a mental health facility. It's Stress Awareness Month. Let's talk about that this month. So, you know, it's always bringing those ideas to the table, because they also hired you because they're also exhausted from thinking about it and they don't know what, you know, they want to do. So, but then you also have clients on the other end that do think they do know exactly what they want to.
So we've been talking specifically about social media and social media content, but the range of what you do at Blossom extends far beyond that. And I imagine that there's some broader planning, some context in which any of the work that you're doing with a client or on the behalf of a client, you know, happens. Can you walk us through sort of what's the approach to getting up and running with a client? What are the things that, like, you're not approached by a new client and they don't come in and say, okay, here's the contract, go ahead and start our marketing, right? There's stuff that's foundational that needs to be figured out. What is that?
Yeah, great question. And something I feel like I'm always kind of tweaking and figuring out too as we go along. So when we meet with a client, we ask them on the first call, like on our lead call, hey, what are you trying to accomplish? Here's what we would recommend. So we kind of give them a recommended strategy on the call and send a proposal with those services laid out. And then on our next call, our kickoff call, after we get questionnaires that we send them, we ask them, you know, who's your ideal audience? What's, you know, this competitors, whatever, get on this kickoff call and really run through all these and ask them those questions. And then it's kind of reevaluating as we create the strategy. Like, we just started working with a plumbing company, and at first they were like, oh yeah, our budget is X amount of dollars. And then we get on this call and we're like, actually, let's start here. And then scale up from there. We recommend doing this. And sometimes, well, actually tell our clients it takes us about 3 months to really get in the swing of things and figure out what's working well. We have a client that we've been working with for years now. And we started running Facebook ads for them. Took about 3 months to figure out this certain image, some reason just converts their customers really well on Facebook ads. And we've been running different versions of that ads for now years. And now we're at a 17 times return on ad spend most months. So it's like, you know, we figure out what's going to work, but it takes those few months to really nail down, okay, what are their customers reacting to? And so I'm always learning too, okay, what questions do we need to ask in the beginning to really make sure we're getting them, you know, exactly what they need? Because sometimes they'll come to us and be like, I need Google ads or SEO. And I'm like, actually, you should probably do Facebook ads and email. So really just depends on their business and what their goals are.
So you mentioned this one image for some reason was, I think, the phrase that you used. And mm-hmm. And I think this is a point worth digging into a little bit deeper, which is that you may know the example of, okay, you don't need this, you need that in terms of the channel, right? But when it comes to the content itself, we don't know the answers as marketers. You need to test. And what I think I heard there when you said this image for some reason was that it wasn't necessarily something that you expected or could have forecasted at the beginning.
Right.
Talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so this is what's for an e-commerce client that sells beauty products. And when we first started, we're like, okay, videos are going to do well, or just images of their products are going to do really well. So we had videos that did really, like, we were going to test out to see if they did well. So anyway, after a couple months, we figured out this graphic that just said 20% off code this with a product image did really well. And then a video of like someone dancing, like with their products or whatever it was, did really well too. And so after a couple months of running the ads, we're like, oh my gosh, these are the ones that are doing well. And we didn't think they would, because I thought really more product focused images would do good. But it was like, okay, this one would like just save 20% off, and it was getting this high return. And it was just like so interesting, because we didn't really test it at first, because that's not normally, you know, what would do well for our clients to start off. So it was just so interesting to have that be the one that worked, because we tried all these other things first and then tried this. Whereas other clients too, we've had videos do really well, and then some clients' videos don't do really well. So a lot of times you'll hear now videos are the way to go, but sometimes with ads, still images get the best results for our clients. So, you know, but it takes those, you know, a few months of testing. And when we start with clients, we do have a 4-month contract to start off with, to make sure we had that time to test out everything. And we actually have a whole process of a seed blossoming to represent that with our clients, to have them understand. So yeah.
I love how you rope in the theme of the brand there. That's beautiful. So just to reiterate, if you as a listener didn't pick up on how many times Emily said testing, right? Yes. That's a really important word, and it's something that marketers ought to know how to do. And if you're encountering a marketer or have engaged a marketer and they're not testing on your behalf, you may want to call Emily instead.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to test. I mean, if you hit it on the first time and it's working well, then kudos to you, but doesn't normally happen.
But even to the your point, if you hit it the first time, you know, at bat or whatever it was you said, we don't necessarily know, because we don't know what to judge that against. And right. So it, you know, there's this school of thought in our space of always be testing, right? Before I hit record, I was talking to you about a call that I was just on, and we were talking about direct response marketing, and which is exactly what we're talking about here. It's just in a digital space, but in old school direct mail, there's a process by which you have a control, right? The ad that is working now, and you are constantly trying to beat the control with new ads. And that's exactly what you are doing every time you're running campaigns on behalf of your clients.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's like if our client has a new product, or actually right now with that client, we're running Facebook ads. We added in Google ads, you know, a year later, and now we're doing TikTok ads. And so the TikTok ads we've been running for about 4 months, now are starting to pick up and get those conversions. But again, we figured I was working here, started adding in other ways to target, and then are now optimizing our TikTok ads. So it's always learning and adding.
So I want to understand a little bit about how you approach what you've just described here, because you're starting with one thing and then adding on additional things. How do you figure out what to prioritize, what to test out first? And I'll add to the question by saying, you know, earlier you mentioned a client comes to you, they say, we need A, B, and C, and you sort of look at the situation that they're in and you say, maybe you need C, but you need D and E as well. Forget about A, B, and what informs all of that?
Yeah. So let me think of an example. I have one that's coming right off my head of someone who owned a fashion line that they wanted to start marketing, and they had a very niche audience. And so I said, okay, well, you don't have anything set up, so let's start with getting your social media profiles created. So that means setting up your Facebook, your Instagram, just start following people, you know, set up an email list. You don't have anyone yet, but just create like a constant contact, and then connect it to your website. If you don't have a website, that's number one. So connect your email to your website, and then let's start building those things. And then let's add in our Facebook ads to build your email list and to your website traffic. And then if people are searching for your products, then let's also start with those Google ads. And then eventually let's branch into TikTok ads, influencer marketing, after you're getting more established. So we have kind of this this timeline of getting everything set up and building credibility before just doing everything at once. Because if you're running all of these ads and are spending all this money, but you don't have any, you know, followers or likes on Facebook, people aren't probably going to trust you yet. So you have to build up, you know, those profiles. And if you're starting off with email marketing but don't have anyone on your email list, then you're just sending an email to the air. So we really just try to get them established and then slowly add in those other things. And sometimes people will say, well, then, you know, once I make more money from this service, I'll add another service. And I understand that, you know, you have to make money to spend the money. But it's looking at it as a way of, okay, what's going to generate revenue here? Let's do really well at it. And then let's add in this other piece to then add on to what we're already doing. So a lot of times I'll work with service providers, for example, that already are doing fine. They have great SEO. They have great referrals. They just want to add in another stream of leads through social media or Google ads or whatever they're doing to just add into what's already been established. So hopefully that answered kind of what you were thinking there, but
yeah, no, and you answered a few different things that I wasn't even thinking about, like a business not necessarily having the assets that they need to have in place to have other activities that they're interested in pay off, right? I remember years ago, back 2011, when I started my Facebook ads agency. And this was a point in time where most businesses didn't really have the type of online activity or online presence that they ought to these days, right? Or that's much more intuitive or expected these days. And so people would hire me to run ads, and I'd want to know, okay, where are we running the ads to? And you know, this is one of these silly things we marketers talk about, and we see it less and less. But usually the answer was, well, to the homepage of my website. And that's like the worst place they could have run the ad, because there's too much overwhelm, too much confusion about, okay, well, now that I'm here, what do I do? And getting the right assets in place, or getting a specific landing page in place to, you know, be the next step in the process from the ad to, you know, whatever that needed to be done next. Hopefully, and I'm actually curious now, businesses understand at least that these days.
Yeah, when I get on a call, I say, what do you have to give to people? Why are they going to click on your website? Because you can say, oh, well, I sell these purses and they're amazing. Well, tell me why. Or tell client people why they need to be going to your website. What are you offering? 20% off? Great. They're going to click on your website to see how they can use their 20% off coupon or a free download. So a lot of times with service providers, I say create a free download, take a blog that you already have, or you're the expert. It's probably very easy for you to put 10 things you should know before doing XYZ, do a download, get people's emails. That's also how you build their email list. They start hearing from you, retarget them with ads. So anyway, I tell people you're paying to get in front of someone. Why are they going to give their information to you for free? Why are they going to contact you? What is going to entice them to want to interact with you? So for a lot of our clients, we also do webinars as a great way to entice someone to interact with them, give their, you know, email and like sign up for their email list to get information from them. But also these days we're fighting for everyone's attention everywhere they look. We're trying to entice them to visit your website. So what do you have to give them? And also the page, yeah, it needs to be specified to exactly what you're talking about. You know, exact service you want to target, a special offering you have. So I always try to make sure our clients have something that we can entice people to click on it and get.
So I was thinking, as I'm looking through the list of services that you offer, another area that I think a lot of businesses or business owners tend to get wrong is their emphasis on new. I need new customers. I need new eyeballs. I need new buyers, right? And you offer a range of things that could accommodate that. But as we often will talk about on this show, the most expensive customer is that first time customer. So I'm curious how you balance the activity when it comes to supporting revenue generation between new and existing.
Yeah, that's a great question. So thinking off the top of my head, we work with a co-working space and we run emails for them. And so they have a newsletter that goes to their internal people that already have a membership with them. And then we have a list of people that maybe have done a free pass or something that have been added to their email list. And we tell them about the community. So we're building that relationship off of people who have interacted with them, but maybe haven't purchased yet or have shown some interest and are telling them about the featured, you know, employee of the month. We're telling them about events happening there that they could be a part of, and trying to build their, oh my gosh, I need to like sign up for this, you know, because I showed some interaction with them. But they're also staying in touch with their current customers, and we're sending out, hey, here's our referral program. When you send someone to us, you get this. Just a reminder, here are the perks that you have. Want to upgrade your office? Contact us. You know, there are different things that we're adding to these emails to build on those current customers. And also, you know, with ads, we do retarget campaigns too, where we're retargeting customer lists to sign up for maybe a new service or something like that, or for like an HVAC plumbing company or HVAC company. you know, this time of year, AC tune-ups are big. So we're retargeting email lists or customer lists with AC tune-up ads. And
so I just for folks who are hearing you explain this, go into a little bit more depth for somebody who doesn't know what you're describing here.
For the retargeting?
So it's a certain time of year. There are services the company provides, and you're saying retargeting their customer list. What does that mean to the layperson?
Yes. Yeah. So if you have a company that's a service provider, and let's say you're an HVAC company that provides AC tune-ups, and you charge, I was just thinking about this because I was helping create the strategy, and you charge a certain amount for this, and it's only a certain time of year. So we're going to upload a Excel sheet with emails and phone numbers and customer names to Facebook, and then we can target them based on those parameters that are associated with their profiles. And say, hey, you're a customer, don't forget to get your AC tune-up.
So it's another way to sort of message them in addition to whatever else. So you might be sending out email, maybe you might not, but somebody might be sending out direct mail. And so they're seeing it in as many different places as possible. They're more likely, I'm assuming, to get that existing customer to re-engage them and pay them more.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
So, in terms of the balance between the getting new people in the door and the types of activities that you just described, what is your recommendation when you're working with clients in terms of how they should allocate, you know, the resources and the work that you guys are doing to among those different things?
Yeah, that's a great question. So a majority of our ad spend, let's say for Facebook or Google, will go to new customers. And then our emails will generally go to their current customers and new. So we kind of frame it as both of, hey, if your current customer, here's a referral program that we have, like, for example, that's what our emails say that Blossom sends. And then at the top, it's our blog. It's, you know, our information about the company. And so you're kind of doing a mix of both there, and then your social media should always be to both, right? It should be about telling your current clients about who you are, about your team, kind of expanding on what services you also provide and results and everything else. And so it really is just a balance that you should get across the board, but generally most of our ad spend for clients will go to newer clients too.
All right, I'm going to change gears for a moment here. Often I will make fun of the marketing, or really it's not marketing, but advertising industry, the Madison Avenue industry, that is less in business to realize the outcomes that we've been talking about in terms of revenue generation and more in business to win awards. Okay, so I am not talking about that industry when I want to take a moment to highlight the fact that Blossom has won a bunch of awards.
Oh.
and I want to talk about that for a moment, because it's not something that I see with a lot of agencies, but for your region, you have been celebrated. And I wonder if you can talk about sort of what led to that, and what was behind some of the awards that you've won.
Oh, yeah, thanks. We won the Mid-Atlantic Best Social Media Agency, the Mid-Atlantic, by New World Report for the last 2 years. And that one, I just got an email and it said we won. I'm like, okay, great, which was awesome. And just like kind of felt good after all our hard work the last couple of years to get that. And then for, let me see. We had the expertise that I believe they do a lot of research on their own to see different agencies in the local area, as well as Design Rush. So we rank on Google right now in the Washington, D.C. area in Alexandria, which is right outside of D.C., which is where I am, for really all things marketing, SEO, social media. And so a lot of people find us on Google ourselves and reach out there and can find us there. And so we won these awards, which has been awesome. And then top SEO rated agency by SEO blog in Virginia and DC.
That's awesome. And the fact that you have invested in becoming found just the way that you want to, you know, demonstrate your clients can as well. It's not very common that we see a lot of agencies do that. So, you know, good for you guys.
Thanks.
So before we wrap up, I want to just give you a chance to talk a little bit about the range of types of clients you support, because as I was going through the website, I noticed that it's a fairly broad range of types of clients. And even though you are in Alexandria, Virginia, you have clients all over the place, across North America, from the ones that I can see, and perhaps even beyond.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So we serve clients all the way from Washington State down to the Caribbean and to New York City. We're kind of touch all four corners and where our clients are. And we serve clients anywhere from home service companies. We work a lot with architects, interior designers, home builders. I actually also have a podcast called ConstructAndGenerate.com that talks about marketing for that industry. And then we also serve a lot of e-commerce clients. So we really focus on the social media side and email for those clients, and help with creating their strategy there. We also have worked with some brick and mortar stores. We work with like a hardware store in New Jersey. And so we've really have touched on a lot of different types of small businesses, and our team has learned strategies that really work for a lot of the different industries and can apply an overall marketing strategy to pretty much any type of company. And like we said at the beginning, that testing to see what's going to work for their specific audience.
Yeah, absolutely. If folks are interested in learning more about you and about Blossom, where should they find you?
Yeah, you can go to my website, emilylenning.com, or blossomdigital.com.
Excellent. And of course, we will have both of those links in the show notes for today's episode. Emily Lenning, thank you so very much for hanging out with me. This has been fun.
Thank you so much.
Indeed. Folks, you have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. If you know somebody who could benefit from listening to the conversation you just heard, please, by all means, share it. In the meantime, my name is David Baer. I look forward to seeing you again back on another episode real soon. Take care. Bye.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. Now you can put what you've learned here into practice when you join the free listener community at mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. When you join today, you'll receive David's collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, plus additional business building training. So don't delay. Join us today at mpmcommunity.com. We can't wait to welcome you.